Napa know-how. A Napa guy knows that by the foot, there's no better ride than an old station wagon. Room for six people facing forward, two people facing backward, and a whole lot of luggage, lumber, and bicycles haphazardly strapped to the roof. If you can parallel park that beast, you can park anything. And with some quality parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep your land ship running longer, stronger. It's not obsolete. It's a rare treasure. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.
What's up, guys? Reg Nation News Podcast. My name is Solomon Ali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. Trade deadline edition of the podcast. We are 13 days out of the trade deadline. Anything can happen from now until February 23rd. So I figured it's probably best to do a trade deadline podcast right now in case anything ever happens. I'm excited because the Rockets seem to be buyers at this year's trade deadline and sellers in more ways than one. I think it could be pretty interesting here because if they can add some pretty nice depth pieces here and make a real run this year at the conference finals. So I think it's going to be an interesting addition to the podcast. You're joined by Kyle Chilik. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing really good. Also joined by Taylor Pate at Taylor L. Pate on Twitter. How you doing, man?
I am doing pretty well.
Yeah, so before we get into anything, the Rockets won 4 out of their last 5 games. They seem to be getting back on track. Their defense is starting to really pick up, especially lately. These past 3 games, their defense has really picked up. What adjustment has there been for you, or what change has there been for you that, you know, the Rockets are slowly getting back on track? In your guys' opinion, what's really changed?
Shooting has been a big thing. I think in the last game that Eric Gordon played, he was 4 of 8 from 3, which is, I mean, like a revelation for him. He was consistently shooting like 20-25% from 3. And then same thing with Ariza. He looked really, really bad the last few games before our current four out of 5 win streak, if you want to call it that. He looks a lot fresher, and he seems to be, you know, looking a lot better, especially in the defensive end.
I just think they got their legs back under them. They're having a really tough stretch of schedule with a lot of travel time in there.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Kyle. Like, to the same extent with you, Taylor. Like, I really felt like it was their schedule. Their schedule got really brutal down there, and they had the most games played in the NBA. They had not played a home game in a while, and they had not had a 3-day rest since the beginning of the season. They hadn't had a 3-day rest, and so having this 3-day rest really, really helped them get their legs back under them, as you said, Taylor. And their shooting has been good. They've got a little bit more healthy in the sense that they got Eric Gordon back for like a few games, and then he disappeared again. Are you guys concerned about the back? Are you guys concerned about the lower back for Eric Gordon?
A little bit. I mean, I think that it's probably a cause of, you know, other lingering injuries and, you know, favoring one side and just kind of wear and tear. But, you know, stuff like that, you know, like lower back issues tend to be like hamstring issues or something where they just kind of linger.
Yeah, I think it's mostly just a precautionary measure with his injury history. They don't want to run him into the ground.
Yeah, and it worries me a little bit. It worries me a little bit because stuff with back in general just really bothers me, especially if it's something like back spasms or anything like that. It doesn't seem to be that, but it is a back issue, And back issues tend to be a little bit unpredictable. You can be out for two or three games, and suddenly you get a notification on your phone saying Eric Gordon's out for 2 or 3 weeks, and that's where it starts to get really concerning. And the Rockets are really close-lipped on this kind of stuff. I tend to think it's nothing because he was listed as doubtful these past few games, and then last minute he was listed out. So I tend to agree with you guys in that they're being very precautionary here, but it is something to watch going forward, especially because I think they're really, really weak at those at the guard position after Patrick Beverley and James Harden. There's nobody there, and the Rockets kind of have to play Patrick Beverley and James Harden these absurd amount of minutes to make up for it, and that's kind of what we want to talk about on this edition of the podcast. What are the Rockets' weaknesses going into this trade deadline?
So they need another guard. They've got to add some sort of either a 2-3 combo, or just a straight out shooting guard. And they also need, a backup big or maybe even a starting center. I mean, some people would say that Clint Capella is not capable of, handling the job.
I think that a guard and a wing, just in general, to get Corey Brewer out of the rotation, it would be huge. And then another guard in case of injury, because they just have nothing if, like, Bev goes down, like you said, because Tyler Ennis just ain't going to cut it.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I'm not as worried about the big man positions. I think they're fine with that three-headed monster of Montrezl Harrell, Clint Capella, and Nene. Although some fans have addressed that issue, so if you guys have any trades today that address that issue, I'm more than willing to hear it. That backup guard, as you talked about, Kyle, like, they're super, super shallow there. If somebody goes down, if Patrick Beverley and Eric Gordon are largely unreliable for the course of their career, they tend to go down 20 games every year. And so if that happens, the Rockets kind of have to play, have to overcompensate and play James Harden an absurd amount of minutes, or Eric Gordon, or Patrick Beverley. Two of those three guys end up playing an absurd amount of minutes, and they have to kind of stick in Tyler Ennis, and that's when it starts to become a big concern. And for me, like, that backup wing, like, that's the number one trade target for me. Like, if the Rockets address anything at that trade deadline, it has to be backup wing. And because Corey Brewer is really awful, and they need to find some way to compensate for those dead minutes. So let's hear it. What's your first trade, Kyle?
Well, I'll start off something kind of simple.
Okay, Kyle cut out. Let's hear from Taylor. Taylor, what's your first trade?
my first trade actually is... it's kind of a minor deal, but I think that it would pay a lot of dividends. So we would be sending Corey Brewer to the Nets for Bojan Bogdanovic, and we could send, you know, like a compensatory, like, second round pick or something like that to go along with it. But this would get Brooklyn closer to the cap floor. And then it would also save the Rockets a little bit of money. And then the Rockets also get a really, really good three-point shooter.
That's such a Daryl move. Like, I feel like that's what's going to happen now. Like that's something I feel like Daryl Morey would certainly do. He's very aware of teams trying to get to the cap floor, and he's taken advantage of that in the past with teams like the Sixers. And I feel like that's a kind of player that the Rockets would target. I'm with that. I'm with that kind of a trade. Let me get to my first trade. My first trade is we're gonna go with the Serge Ibaka. We're gonna go with the Serge Ibaka trade right off the bat. The Rockets get Serge Ibaka. They send back Corey Brewer, KJ McDaniels, Montrezl Harrell, and a 2017 first round pick. And is that too much? Is that too much for Serge Ibaka, guys?
The first round pick gets me, but, you know, it's a late first anyway. So it's, you know, I mean, if you can get the acknowledgement from Serge that he'll re-sign, then I think it's worth it. But if you can't get that assurance, then I don't think that I would do it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair value from the Rockets, but I just don't know if that Brewer takes value away from that deal for Orlando, having to eat his salary, because I think that Orlando's like perpetually just wrong about what they can get with their cap space, like clearing out cap space by trading Tobias Harris last year for no reason and losing out on that deal because they thought they could sign someone. I feel like they're not going to want to take Brewer back. But if they're fine with it and they realize they need to just rebuild through the draft, then I think they'd do it.
Yeah, there was that brief window of time where Orlando thought they could get Chandler Parsons and Al Horford at the same time. Like, I remember that, the Florida connection. And yeah, they do seem to be a little bit delusional in that aspect. But I do think that when you throw in that first round pick and you throw in like how good Harrell has been this year, I don't think Harrell's actually this good. Like I'm a little bit skeptical, but like he's been pretty damn good for the Rockets this year, and I think taking on a guy like that plus the first rounder, like that's cheap talent that Orlando can could really use right now, and then on top of that taking a flyer on KJ McDaniels, because I think there are still some teams that think KJ McDaniels is good, I still think KJ McDaniels is good, like he's just been like completely thrown out of the rotation, and I think there are teams that'd be willing to take a flyer on him. So yeah, overall, like, do you think any of these teams say no to this trade? Who says no?
Orlando might, but I'm not gonna say for sure.
Yeah, if anybody says no, it's Orlando.
All right, Taylor, you're up next. What's your next trade?
I actually have Corey Brewer, Montrezl Harrell, and a second round pick for Taj Gibson.
Ooh, I like that trade.
I think that Taj Gibson is a fantastic fit for this team. He brings rim protection, rebounding, offense. I mean, just kind of everything that you expect from the power forward position. And, you know, he's on an expiring deal, so, you know, technically, if you don't want to re-sign him, you don't have to, and that becomes cap space. And then, you know, from Chicago's side, they get a young player, a second-round pick. And, I mean, they have to take on Corey Brewer, but that'll be expiring next year. So that's, you know, they'll eventually have to rebuild anyway.
I like that trade a lot. Which second? Go ahead.
Which second would it be? Like Portland's?
I didn't specify, but
they're both kind of in that same area at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think you can like word it to where it's the better of the 2 seconds.
You
could put some language in there. Yeah, and yeah, I like that trade. Like, Taj Gibson's getting paid $9 million this year, and obviously, as you said, it's expiring, and so I mean, like, it's kind of a no risk. The thing is, that second round pick makes me a little bit nervous because you're already giving up Harrell. So if it were me, like, and you're asking me who says no, I think maybe the Rockets. But I think Taj Gibson is a nice player, and I think he really solidifies that Rockets front court. He gives them some rebounding that they didn't have before, and some interior defense. I mean, what do you think about this trade, Kyle?
I think both teams would probably say yes. I want to say, and the only thing is that past this year, the reason that I'm kind of iffy on trading Harrell is because they won't have a backup center unless you think like Onowaku will be ready, or Jochi will come and save us all.
And the Rockets get to clear up that Corey Brewer contract, which we didn't talk about, and that's like another benefit to that. So maybe I'm being a little too pessimistic in that, in saying that the Rockets say no, because they do get that benefit and they get the benefit of Taj Gibson. So. Yeah, and you'll find that a lot with a lot of these Corey Brewer trades. Like a lot of these Corey Brewer trades that we put together, they do get Corey Brewer off the books, but they also get something else in return most of the time. And that's why we threw in a lot of draft picks for these trades. Kyle, what's your next trade?
Well, I'll go with another Serge trade that's a little bit better for Orlando and a little bit better or worse, depending on what Houston plans to do. But it's what you had, Brewer, Montrez, KJ, and then also Ennis, and then 2017 and 2019 first-rounders for Serge, P.J. Tucker, and Domijan Rudez. And then so Phoenix was to send P.J. Tucker and get a first-round pick back and eat Brewer. And then Orlando will get Serge with basically the package you proposed without Brewer. So they don't have to take that negative from Brewer and just send Serge and Rudez.
So let me clarify. So the Rockets are sending back two first-round draft picks, and they're getting back P.J. Tucker and Serge Ibaka.
And like Domijan Rudez, but that's just kind of filler. But yeah. The reason is that the Rockets would be able to have PJ's bird rights, Serge's bird rights, and be able to play as an over this offseason, be an over the cap team instead of an under the cap team. And if they do that and they plan on keeping both of those guys, then they get to use the larger mid-level exception. So then they'd have an $8 million mid-level exception to throw around instead of the room exception, which is a lot smaller. So the plan would be to keep both Serge and PJ Tucker, which is why you're giving away both first. And then you'll have $8 million to grab someone.
I think I like that trade. Ultimately, the two first-rounders make me a little bit nervous. But I because the Morey does pretty well with draft picks, even in the late first round. But I think if you're getting Serge Ibaka in return, you're kind of lifting the ceiling of this team. And PJ Tucker is a guy they really, really need right now for depth. So it really depends on the Rockets' long-term goals, right, as a franchise, right? So, I mean, if they're really going for it this year, this is an optimal amount. This is, like, the kind of trade you want to make, right? But if you're a little bit more optimistic and you think they're going to go after a free agent, like a high-value max contract free agent next year, this kind of removes a little bit of that flexibility. Ultimately, I think, if it were me, I'd accept that trade. What about you, Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair value all around. It's kind of a win for everyone. And I think that the Rockets, I mean, they certainly improve in that, you know, aspect. And then Phoenix gets to do what they want to do, which is suck really bad for a couple of years and compile as many picks as possible. It's like the fastest process ever. I think that's pretty fair all around.
Yeah, I tried to get Barbosa back to the Rockets, but he's just making too much money. So that way they could have that other guard. And then he also has an option, so he'd be not just a rental if they wanted him, because they need that point guard, shooting guard combo.
Oh, and that kind of dovetails into a trade that I really liked from the Dunked On podcast. They did a mock trade podcast. I'm sure most of you guys have listened to it if you listen to this podcast. They did a mock trade podcast a couple of days ago, and in their part two, they had PJ Tucker coming back to the Rockets along with Leandro Barbosa, and they had Corey Brewer and a first round draft pick going back to Phoenix. And I thought that trade made perfect sense. And they had KJ McGainos going back to Phoenix, and I thought that kind of trade makes perfect sense. It solves both of their needs for next year, and you're only giving up a first round draft pick essentially. And that's a pick that I think Phoenix could use right now in their rebuilding phase, and I think you get rid of Corey Brewer's contract and you solve two needs, and it makes the team really, really freaking deep in the playoffs. And like, you know, Trevor Ariza is playing an absurd amount of minutes, and having a guy like PJ Tucker solves a lot for them. What do you guys think about that trade? It's not my trade. It's from Dunked On. It's from the Dunked On podcast.
Yeah, I'd still do it. KJ's pretty inconsequential to me at this point. Yeah, I think he's still good, but I don't think he's ever going to play here.
I'm of the same camp. I think that KJ is certainly expendable at this point.
Is he the guy the Rockets kind of most want to trade at this deadline? Like, other than Brewer, like, I feel like he's kind of the guy that I'm almost certain that he's going to be shopped at this trade deadline. And I'm almost kind of certain that he's going to be moved at this trade deadline. What about you guys? You guys think he's kind of the guy that's most likely going to be moved?
He should be. I mean, he's filling a roster spot that he's literally just playing garbage time. I mean, and other teams would probably try to take a flyer on him.
Yeah, I'd probably be doing him a favor too after that tweet. I just want a ball.
Yeah.
So I think even if they don't get something that they really think is interesting for KJ, they might just do him a solid and send him to a bad team where he'll get a rotation spot.
All right, this trade's a little bit more... It's a little dicey. Like, I'm not sure if you guys are going to say yes to this. You give up Corey Brewer, KJ McDaniels, Tyler Ennis, and a first-rounder, and you get back Sergio Rodriguez and Robert Covington from the Sixers. What do you guys think about that trade?
I think that's a home run. I don't think Phoenix would do that. I think that
it's not Phoenix. It's the Sixers.
I mean, Philadelphia. Starts with a PH. Same thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I think Robert Covington is first among small forwards in RPM right now. Like, he's been really good.
Yeah, that would be a fantastic trade. I am all aboard the Rocco train.
And you guys think Sergio Rodriguez would fill a role here for the Rockets? Because he's on an expiring deal. Like, his contract was it was just a rental for 1 year. But he's $8 million. You can absorb his salary this year. He's off the books He's off the books for next year, and he can play backup point guard for you guys. You guys think he can help for the Rockets?
He's good. I mean, he's good enough. He's better than Corey Brewer.
he's a fine third guard, fourth guard, whatever he would be, fourth guard.
So you guys think Philly accepts that trade? Because the Rockets send back a first-rounder with Corey Brewer, KJ McDaniels, and Tyler Ennis to repeat.
I think that the Sixers think Rocco is like a piece of their long-term, and he's locked in like super cheap for the next 2 years, like minimum. So yeah, I'm not sure if they would do it.
I think they love him there. I think somebody just put out a piece the other day about how Covington was like the main cog that made everything go. Like, he was the you know, quote unquote glue guy. So I don't know that they would accept that one.
All right. And what about you, Taylor? You got any new traits?
Yeah, I got one. I don't know that this would happen or not, but the Rockets would send Corey Brewer and KJ McDaniels to the Bucks, and the Bucks would send back Mirza Teletovic. Since Jabari Parker went down, you know, they're going to need some extra 2 and 3 depth, and that's something that they could get. And give them a couple of rotation guys that, you know, I guess could do something for them. But I don't know that Milwaukee would do this deal, but it would help the Rockets a lot.
So it's Mirza Teletovic for Corey Brewer and KJ. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And there's no pick there, right?
There's not, but I guess there could be. But I wouldn't want to give a pick for Mirza. I mean,
Mirza's good, but yeah, I think the Rockets would definitely accept that. I'm with you. If I'm them, I'm not taking on that trade unless I'm getting at least a second rounder back for Mirza, because Mirza is a pretty good player. Like, he's old, but he's pretty good.
I'd want a first.
You'd want a first.
Yeah, if I was Milwaukee.
Damn, Kyle.
I'm just kind of.
Kyle's ripping apart your trade, Taylor.
It's because his shooting gives him that extra added value and that's what makes it, you know, almost not worth it to me, because, you know, Teletovic was a guy that I wanted the Rockets to sign this year, and you know, it's just one of those things where I wouldn't want to actually give up something of value for him.
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree with you. I just think that, like, that trade really favors the Rockets, and obviously it's a home run for the Rockets, but I mean, I don't think they accept that. What about you, Kyle? You got any new trades?
Well, there's a dude, Courtney Lee, because he's not very happy in New York. And they just need to just destroy everything, just tear it all down and start from scratch for a first Brewer and KJ.
I think this is the trade I had. Hold on, let me check. Yeah, this is the exact same trade I had. yeah, like, obviously, yeah, I do it. Like, because I think the Knicks are obviously tearing that thing. Like, I mean, they aren't, obviously, but they should really tear that thing down. New York's a mess right now. And I think they really need to trade Carmelo Anthony if they can find a trade partner. That's really the big if, right? Like, if they can find a trade partner that makes Carmelo waive his no-trade clause, and that, you know, the Knicks are willing to accept. Like, are they willing to accept, like, an Austin Rivers trade? Like, are they willing to take back that kind of take that back kind of low yield for a guy they gave up everything for? And I don't know. And like, so this is really contingent on if New York tears it down. If they do, I really like that trade for the Rockets, because Courtney Lee, he solves kind of both of their problems. He gives them another wing. He gives them another guard in that rotation. Like, I think he's a really great fit in this lineup.
Yeah, I haven't done the numbers, but I think it also puts the Rockets over the cap, so then they could be an over the cap team and use that $8 million mid level exception. Not sure though. I haven't done the math on that one.
Taylor.
Hello?
Taylor,
yeah,
your thoughts, dude.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, in a heartbeat, man. That's a great deal. I mean, he fills multiple needs for the Rockets, and you know, we've seen over the past few days what's going on with New York. I mean, really, I honestly think that the league needs to step in and do something about that team. Because they're making the NBA look so bad, and it's not gonna get any better until they actually decide to blow it up.
Can we talk about this for like 5 minutes? I'm so thankful for Leslie Alexander. And I'm somebody who criticized Leslie Alexander in the off season for like meddling, but like compared to like the other crappy owners in the league, like he's like so much better than a James Dolan or a Vivek Ranadive. Like, God, James Dolan's, like, it would be so, I would hate to be a Knicks fan. That was so embarrassing, that, like, that Charles Oakley incident. Like, first of all, why the hell is Charles Oakley buying tickets to a Knicks game? Like, why is that happening? Like, why does he have to buy tickets? Like, give the guy free tickets. I don't give a damn what kind of vendetta you have against him. Like, he deserves free tickets every single damn game, because he's done so much for that Knicks team. The fans love him. He loves that team. He's still going to support that team. He came out and tweeted after he got banned from MSG that he's still a Knicks fan. Like, that tells you everything. Like, he the Rockets treat their players like in such high regard. Like, even if you were like a Mario Ellie, you're getting tickets to every game if you want it. And I'm just kind of really thankful for Leslie Alexander. You guys have any thoughts on this whole Charles Oakley thing?
It's a nightmare. If you're a Knicks fan, no one's gonna sign there now. No one. Like, you're gonna have to pay through the nose for anyone.
Yeah, and I think that's why, honestly, I think that the league is gonna have to do something, because if Dolan doesn't get out, then you're literally, nobody's gonna want to go to New York, and they're just gonna be dumpster fire for a long time. And that's such a big market for the NBA that they're gonna lose, you know, all kinds of money. It's just such an ugly situation, man. And it's just no good for, you know, the players that are currently there. They're on longer term deals, and, you know, people within the organization, former players. It's bad, man. It's a bad, bad situation.
If you're a player, like if you, Taylor, like if you were like significantly better at basketball than you are right now, like, and like you were an NBA player and like you had your pick of the litter, why the hell would you go to New York? Like, what incentive other than money? Like, if money is equal, why would you ever pick New York? Like, that situation, it's like, you can't trust that front office. Like, Phil Jackson is not a good executive, and that ownership is obviously horrendous, right? And this is not the second, this is not like the, like, year three of this ownership group. This is like year 20, right? Like, James Dolan's had that team for such a long time. And, you know, it's a real question. Like, can you force an owner to give up his team because of incompetence, right? Like, I'm not sure you can. Like, I think you kind of have to, like if you're Adam Silver, you kind of have to like stir up some scandal. Like, you have to kind of like you kind of have to like bug James Dolan's phone and wait for him to say some racist thing, right? Like, and like find a way to get him out of the front office. Like, I don't know what you do. But yeah, like it's an absolute disaster. All right, but that's it on the Knicks. That's it on the Knicks. Let's get to my next trade. KJ McDaniels and Sam Decker for Joel Embiid. Who says no? Who says no? I don't see any side that says no. Joel Embiid for KJ McDaniels and Sam Decker. No draft picks needed. I think this is a slam dunk for both teams. Personally, I think Joel Embiid is going to really like it here in Houston. I think we should just start packing his bags. I don't think we should even ask about this trade anymore.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised this hasn't already happened.
How many times has Joel Embiid scored 50 points? That I want to know. Corey Brewer did it.
Yeah, that's true.
But Corey Brewer isn't in this trade. See, like, you got to pay attention, man.
I missed it.
It's KJ and Sam Decker. They're getting back good pieces, man. Oh. You can't complain if you're Philadelphia. You're getting back KJ. You're getting back the next Kawhi Leonard, basically. I mean, that's what KJ is. And you're getting back the next Chandler Parsons for somebody who's unproven, basically, and, you know, injury-prone. Like, why would you want Joel Embiid, right? Like, just get him off your hands. Send him to the Rockets. The Rockets will fix him up. He'll be fine here in Houston. And, yeah, like, I don't understand who says no here.
Well, I guess that makes my Corey Brewer for Avery Bradley trade look a little less ridiculous.
I thought you had Brewer in there just because you hate him so much. I just thought he was automatically. No,
he's in there in spirit.
I don't hate Corey Brewer. Like, that's got to stop. Like, I don't hate Corey Brewer, guys. Like,
oh, yeah, just like I don't hate James
Harden. The basketball player, Corey Brewer.
I think we did a good job here, guys. I think we fixed a lot of problems. I think we put some compelling trades out there. I think Daryl Morey's listening. I think he likes some of the trades we put out here, especially this Joel Embiid trade I laid out there for him. I think he's calling Philadelphia right now. I think Philadelphia is really tempted. I know if I'm Brian Colangelo, I'm accepting that trade. There's no way I'm not. And yeah, guys, that's it for the Red Nation Shoes podcast. Subscribe to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play Music. Give us a good rating on iTunes. Give us a good rating on iTunes if you enjoy the show. Even if you didn't enjoy the show, if you hated the show, give us a good rating. That helps other people find the show. And yeah, guys, good night.
Understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group, just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.